Welcome.
We're going to start in 2 Timothy. Now, how does God speak? We know that He speaks to our heart, that He speaks to our spirit and our dreams. The young men have visions and the old men will dream dreams. And we see that He speaks in many different ways. One of the ways is through the authorities. Paul is an authority in Timothy's life. Paul didn't lead him to the Lord. That doesn't make him an authority. He submit under it. As a pastor, people submit or come under the pastorship of someone. It doesn't mean that I'm to lord it over you, Peter says, not to make you do things you're not supposed to do or don't want to do. No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to give you the Word of God. And you'll see where God speaks to you, because God will use authorities. And I look at it, I'm just telling you, graze over here, like a shepherd would tell the sheep. Oh, don't graze over there. Graze over here. Graze there. Get in this part of the Word. You eat this and this will fix you. This will help you. I can't do anything for you. But if you read the Word of God over here, that'll straighten out. That'll answer your questions. That's what we're called to do. And submitting on your guy's part is just saying, okay, I'll read that. God's the one who's doing the work, but nevertheless, Timothy has submitted himself to an authority named Paul. Paul's seen Timothy growing up with his mother and grandmother, and he saw something in him. He saw godliness in him as the child was growing up, a youth, a teenager, and he saw him, and he knew that there was genuine faith. Remember the word genuine, what it means in the Greek? Without wax. Without wax. That means that when the heat is on, you're not going to melt. You're not going to be a snowflake and just... But rather, you're going to be genuine. You'll be able to stand the tests that are before you, because there will be tests, there will be trials. As a pastor, guess what? The tests are unreal. And I knew that going into this, and nevertheless, I had to hear from God. You have to hear from God. You can't just take my word for it. You have to be devoted to the Lord. Give yourself to prayer, fasting, study, reading the Word. Because as you do that, you're submitting to me because I'm telling you to do that. But you're submitting to God overall. And God will take your invested time and grow you up. I've shared with you before, I would not start the church till I heard unequivocally from God. Though people say, well, you're gifted, you have a teaching gift, you have this, you have that, God has called you. I don't care what anybody says, I was waiting to hear from God. And when He motioned me and He told me things, I knew it was Him. Timothy has this call, and Paul is training him up. We all need people who are strong, genuine, in the faith, who are leaders that can train the next generation. And that's what Timothy is all about. We're going to start in 2 Timothy because it ties in with what we were talking about with the false teachers and the false prophets and those naysayers and all that come against people of God. Not just the pastors, but you guys as well. As Christians, the enemy is going to come against you. The world and the people of the system of the world are going to come against you. And Timothy is being written to by Paul. And the more we get into it, we see things that are probably happening to discourage Timothy, to freak him out, to make him say, you know what, I'm done. This pastor stuff is ridiculous. I can't understand, you know. My best friends turn against me. My family turns against me. You know, people are lying to me. All this, they fluff you up. All this stuff. Timothy, it seems almost like he's on the bridge of saying, I don't know, Paul. I don't know if I can do this. And he says, you can do it. You can do it. Heavenly Father, we know that we can do it because of who you are, not because of who we are. Whatever our call is, we're all called to go out and minister. Everyone here is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once they took on that shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, there's a reason for the armor, Lord God, because they will be attacked by people of the world, by lying spirits and deceiving spirits, spirits that will try to dupe us, Lord God, into doing what seems right when in all actuality it's not, according to your word. Father, we need the helmet of salvation to keep our mind pure. We need the belt of truth to keep ourselves sound and secure and upheld. We need to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of Christ. For blessed are the feet of those who run with the good news of the Word of God. Holy Spirit, we submit ourselves to You, that You would teach us, that You would be our teacher, each and every one of us, I included. And Father, that You would instruct us in the Word of righteousness and take these things to our heart. Help us to be strong, Lord God, where we are weak. Help us to be wise where we are foolish, Lord God. Help us to be compassionate when we're not, Lord God. Help us to love even when it hurts and we're rejected and abused and spitefully used, as Your Word says. For our pleasure doesn't come from pleasing man, but from pleasing You. Help us to be God pleasers from this point forward. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. 2 Timothy, epistle of Paul to Timothy. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He makes it clear who he serves. Why? Well, we're going to look at a big, long list of to-do things or to-be things. And one of them is right there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He doesn't mention his Jewish heritage. He doesn't mention his godly bloodline from the stock of Abraham all the way from the beginning, or connected to David. He doesn't do any of that. He says an apostle, a chosen vessel from God through Jesus Christ. I wrote a few requirements. There's about 18 that I wrote that we're going to see in here. First is strong in Christ. We're not apostles, but we're disciples of the Lord. The apostles seem to have been an elect group. Some people will say, well, there's apostles today. I don't know. I'm not sold on that because I don't see it in the Word of God. I see that these were the 12 that God chose for a specific reason to do what the Bible says? Turn this world upside down. That's what it says. I don't see so much that there are apostles today. I could be wrong. And I'll be happy if someone will correct me on that. But I believe right now it's those 12 apostles. They were selected. And he says in that leadership office, he stands. I stand as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So you need to be strong in Christ, not just in the Scripture. Many people go to seminary and other online classes or discipleships, and they know the Word of God in a strong and powerful way. They know where to find it, what it says. That doesn't make you strong in Christ. That's an instrument that could make you strong in Christ if you yield yourself to Christ. Paul had to yield himself to become an apostle. God called him, but he had the option to choose to follow Jesus or not. In the book of Acts, in chapter 9, where he was knocked off his beast and Jesus spoke to him, he had every opportunity to not follow Jesus. Jesus made him blind. He could have got mad and said, the heck with this? I don't want this. If this is what it means to follow you, Jesus, I don't want it. He could have not gone down to Damascus. He could have gone the other way. He could have chose not to meet with the man who would pray for him, who God had selected to pray for him, to anoint him. He could have had all these different avenues of doing his own will rather than God's will. And so do we. So do I. I didn't have to be here today. I just love being in God's will. And I have to submit to the call. I'm not an apostle. I know I'm a gatekeeper. I open the gate and I feed the sheep. You can call it a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, whatever you want. I just want to be submitted to God. He says, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So we know that we have to be strong in Christ. Not just knowing Scripture, submitting to the Scripture. What good does it do if you have memorized the whole New Testament, but you're not submitting to the words in the New Testament? There's a difference. We have to be in God's will. What is God's will? Submitting to God. To the words that He has written, that he has penned, like Paul said, by the Holy Spirit earlier, he quoted Timothy when he was praying. I don't know why he did that. Why would he do such a thing? The Holy Spirit moves in all of us. All of us. One of you can come up to me and speak to me, and it's happened many times, and they'll tell me something, and I know that's specifically for me. How do they know? They're just a sheep, Lord. I'm the pastor. Because we're all level ground. And God has told me things through the sheep sometimes that are profound and exclusively for me. It's the same Spirit that works in all of us. It's God's Spirit. So we have to be strong in Christ. We have to be walking in God's will. Well, how do we discover God's will? How do we know? Give yourself to prayer. What did Jesus do? He was fully man. He had all the temptations that we have. Every one of them. That blows my mind. I think of the things that tempt me and I'm like, Jesus, you went through this. But you're God. I know. But you're flesh. I know. But you never sinned. I know. He showed us an example of submitting in the power of the Holy Spirit. He told them in the book of Acts, go and wait for the Holy Spirit. That's the will of God, that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because of the abuses that we've seen on TV and all the theatrical stuff of the Holy Spirit, when people told me I had to be speaking tongues in order to be saved, I said, I don't know how to speak in tongues. I'm not saying they're not real. The Bible says there is a gift of tongues. I don't have it. But the false teaching was, Pete, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. That's not what the Word of God says. The thief on the cross never spoke in tongues, it doesn't say. He never was baptized. Some will say, you have to be baptized in order to be saved. It doesn't say that. The thief on the cross never was baptized. And he says, today you will be with me in paradise. So we have to scrutinize and glean everything from scriptures intelligently. We have to study the Word of God the best that we can. We're fallible, but the Word of God is not. Man is fallible. Peter, speak in tongues. I don't know how. Just do it. He started shaking me. Say something. I didn't know what to say. So I said something. So, okay, you're good. You're safe. And I didn't know. And in my ignorant, childlike mind, I thought, all we have to do is accept Jesus. What? I don't get it. The doctrine of man can confuse us if we not securely ground it in the Word of God. The doctrine that Paul speaks of. So we have to be strong in Christ, and we'll follow His will as we give ourselves to prayer. As I was about to say, Jesus would pray often, often. And He was filled with the Spirit of God. He was God. He is God. To Timothy, a beloved son, this is the word, it has agape tied to it. That self-sacrificing love. We need to have self-sacrificing love. One for another. Each one of us. That's tough. Because you know how we are. Sooner or later, we offend someone. Most of the time, we offend someone, we don't even know that we offended them. I like to joke around a lot with the guys, and sometimes I offend them, and I didn't even realize. And rather than coming and telling me, they tell everybody else, Pete offended me. Come and tell me. Go to the person the Bible says that has offended you, and get it right. All the way to the point of taking them to court, it talks about them. Don't drag your brother or your sister into court. You go and get it right with them. And if they won't hear you, then take it to the church and let them know and get it right. It's shameful for us to go to court rather than coming to the proper decision, because you know the truth. I know the truth. But then we have to submit if we're wrong. And we don't want to do that. That's our flesh. Jesus struggled with that, but yet He never succumbed to it. Agape, self-sacrificing love. I'm showing a picture of a pastor here, Paul being one and Timothy the other, but it's for all of us. I remember reading as a student of the Bible when I first started, and I said, this is me. This is you as well. It's for all of us. And if we're going to follow a pastor, we want to see these attributes working in their life. Strong in Christ. Submitting to God's will. Having self-sacrificing love. I met with a pastor who's going to retire this year, and I've known him for a long time. He preaches not in Santa Fe, out of town, and I was encouraging him. It's good, because others were trying to discourage him, saying, you can't retire from ministry. That's ridiculous. The Word of God says in the Old Testament that it's a 20-year commission, and then they rest. They can serve in other aspects. And I remember someone who has just started bringing this up to me about some pastor that was retiring. I said, how are you to know? You have just barely begun. This gentleman's been in it for a long time. How do you know the hurts he's endured? The blows his children have taken because of that position. The attacks on their lives. The attacks on their children's lives. The attacks in the church. The betrayals. The discouraging words. I've been spit upon. Nobody. It must have been an unbeliever, a heathen. Was it in the prison? No, it was in the church. I've been yelled. I've been grabbed by the neck. But you have to have self-sacrificing love. Guys, it's not a community gathering. It's serving our Lord Jesus to the fullest. Even when it's hard to love, or it costs us something, that's the hardest love ever. But He calls us to that. He says, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need grace one to another. We need to extend grace and we need to receive grace. We need mercy one to another. We need to extend mercy and receive mercy. We need peace and we need to be peacemakers. For blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. This is the type of people we want to follow as leaders of a church, of a flock. In verse 3 it says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, Paul says. As my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers day and night. Look at Timothy's pastor. Day and night he remembers to pray for Timothy. And I guarantee you as a pastor, it's not just Timothy that he prays for, but all those he comes in contact, even when you can't remember their name. It's not just Eli and Apollo and Saul and that I pray for. I try to pray for everybody. Even those who don't go to church here. Those who have spitefully come against me. Those who have stolen from me. All of them. Because why? I want to submit to God. I know you want to submit to God. And this is what it takes. Laying down retaliation. Hateful thoughts. And it's hard. How do you get rid of hateful thoughts, Pete? Through prayer. Oh, you mean you get them? As a pastor, I didn't think you'd get them. I have hated in my heart. And I have to go, rather than retaliating at the person who has wronged me, I have to go in the wee hours of the morning and get on my knees and say, God, take this from me. I don't want to hate like this. I feel dirty when I hate like this. Help me to forgive. The ones who are the most difficult to forgive require me to be in the most prayer of all. Paul knows this and he's trying to impart this wisdom to Timothy as I to you. He says, I remember you in my prayers day and night. You're going to want to submit to someone who prays for you. You want to become a person of prayer. It says, greatly desiring to see you. He longs for him. Being mindful of your tears. Ah, here's a clue. Remember I said we're going to have an insight into Timothy's life? Into the difficulties of being a pastor as he's leading a church? He says, I know your pain. I know your tears. I'm mindful of them. Genuine faith. Authentic. Real. It has to be real, guys. It has to be real. He says, I'm mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. In other words, if you're hurting, Timothy, I know you're in God's will. You're preaching the Word of God. I know you're speaking the truth because they're coming against you. And it's not you they're coming against, it's the Word that they're coming against. You got to remember that, Timothy. In verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith, authentic, real, that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, And I am persuaded as in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir it up. Stir the gift up. You have a gift in you that was in you since your youth, and you have a godly inheritance through your mother and your grandmother. And he says, stir it up. It means bring it to a boil. Could it be the second clue of why Paul is writing to Timothy? Don't let your fire burn out, Timothy. I know you're tearful. I know you're hurting. I know you're ready to give up, but stir it up. Just stir up. What happens, you campers or hunters, when you go camping and the fire's going down? And it's just the coals, and you throw a log on there, and it ain't working. You start blowing on it. You let some air in there. And then it ignites. And then it's ablaze again. That's what that meaning is, stir it up. It's to get it, bring it to a boil, fan the flames, if you will. Do it, Timothy. Don't give up. Stir up that gift. You're going to need courage. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. He prayed. That's biblical. To lay hands on people and pray for them. And he laid hands on him. Imagine Paul, the apostle, laying his hand upon you. Any of the apostles. And praying for your ministry. I remember speaking with Raul Reese's brother, Xavier Reese, at a men's retreat one time. And I said, I don't know. People say I have a teaching gift and I want to stir it up. Help me. And I talked with him, and he's an expositor as well. And I was drawn to expository teaching, and he gave me, imparted me some wisdom that he had. Raul Reese is an evangelist. He just gets up there and speaks a few words and everybody gets saved. Xavier says, I go up there and give an altar call, nobody comes. My brother goes up there, everybody must give their life to Jesus, man. And as you give your life to Jesus, anybody who wants to just come here. That's all he said. He read two verses one time when I went to go see him in Las Lunas or somewhere. It wasn't flamboyant. No, except Jesus, come on down. And everybody came. Billy Graham, when I went, and the last time he spoke in Albuquerque, I can't believe that. Simple message. The floor at the pit couldn't contain all the people who gave their life, who answered the call. It's a gift of evangelism. Some people have it to the umpth degree, as those men do. But Xavier was an expositor, and I wanted to be an expositor. I felt the calling for that, and he taught me in that short period of time. And this is Timothy being taught by Paul, someone who cares about him and is encouraging him. And he says in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Could it be the third clue of what's going on in Timothy's life? Death threats on a pastor? No way. Could it be the crowd is going against him for preaching the Word of God in its entirety and its truthfulness? I would say yes. God has not given you, Timothy, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy, stir it up. In verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Timothy, I know you're suffering. I know it hurts. Paul goes on later on to speak of some of the people who were so close to him, even in ministry with him, who have departed for Thessalonica, for Cretans. They went to the world. The Vegas of the time. The LA of the time. He says, now you know what it means to serve God. And I know you guys, many of you, and the sufferings that you go through. And they're real. They're not to be belittled because they're not as large as some other people's suffering, but they're real. And we pray for one another in the real sufferings that we have one for another when we know. He says in verse 9, the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. You guys have a holy calling. You're disciples of the Lord. You're to go out and spread the good news. And let the chips fall where they may, if you will. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. God calls you guys for certain, whatever it is. I've heard on the radio from time to time, or in songs on the radio, where even if you're just a godly guy or gal raising your kids in the love and admonition of the Lord, that's your call. And the greatest of all evangelists or apostles have the same salvation as you, and the same temptations of you when you want to give up. And God says, no, but this is your call. Right now, this is where I have you. Be strong. I know it's hard. I'll uphold you. According to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. You know the Jews hated him because he went to the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Wherever you're at in life right now, just commit it to the Lord as an offering to him, and be faithful in that till he changes you. Hold fast to that which you're doing, the calling in your life, the pattern of sound words. Hold fast the doctrine, the sound words, the Bible, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, Timothy, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. For you guys, keep going on by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you feel too tired to even answer the phone, just call on the Lord. Ask for His Spirit to strengthen you. That good thing which keeps you, dwells in you, that's God. This you know, that all those who in Asia have turned away from me, there he goes, saying how hurtful things have become for him, among who are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, though. He mentions these guys who came against him, who hatefully treated him. But then he mentions Onesiphorus. So remember, Timothy, he says, walk in the power of love, sound mind, be vocal in your faith, and you guys as well. Don't be ashamed. You're appointed for something, and you will suffer, and be committed. Read your word day in and day out, as often as you can. Be persuaded by God, not by man. If man tells you something, make sure you check with God. Hold fast, it means firm grip to the word and in your face. A firm grip. Like if your life depended on it. I remember a movie called Cliffhanger back when I was young. And Rocky, you know, Rocky. And he was hanging on, you know, and I was like, come on, how can he hold on like this? I knew a mountain climber and she could do that. It freaked me out. She was a teacher to one of my kids. The little board on over the door, she could crawl across like a spider. So I guess Rocky could do it, you know. It's hold on with everything you got. Even if it's that last finger of faith, man. Just, God, I feel like I'm falling here. I got you. Just hang on. Just hang on. Don't be persuaded by man. Be persuaded by God. Be ready. Prepare yourself, because hard times will come. But then the refreshing. This is the part I'm getting at here. Where he says, Onesiphorus. Lord, grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Many left him because he was in prison. They thought, oh, he's not a godly man. They left because of the hard times that came against him, because of the persecution that came against him by the world, and it locked him in prison. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he's ministered to me, Timothy. At Ephesus, you were there. You've heard the refreshing. He refreshed me, Paul says. It's so refreshing when people treat you good, is it not? Therefore, we should treat people good. Refreshing. Serving to refresh. Serving the people we serve. Be refreshing to them. Don't be a burden to them. Oh, I guess I'll take care of you. No, be refreshing to them. Reinvigorate someone. Revive them. Restoring them. If it means forgiveness, then extend forgiveness. Turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 9, verse 1. Being sent out. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? He was born blind, and the people equated that as a curse from God and said, who sinned? Was it him or was it his parents? You know, sometimes we think the worst, don't we? Someone's going through a hard time. Well, it's their own fault. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God is kind. Jesus stands up for those who are suffering. Jesus said, he answered, and he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. It's not a sin issue. We see someone's kids go astray. Oh, their parents sin. It's their sin. It might be just a test of the parent. You're going to hang in there in the ministry that I've given you of children, difficult ones, but that's your ministry. Nobody sinned here, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. It's for the glory of God. I must work. In some translations it says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Now that the Holy Spirit's with us, because there's going to come a time where the Bible says he will be lifted in the end time scenario. Now that it's day, get busy, guys. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, he says. There's a time to speak the word, and it's now. There's time to work the word, and it's now. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva. Well, that's weird. I don't want nobody spitting on the dirt and putting it on my eye. This was the medical thing of the day, so to speak. If a nobleman were to spit in something and mix it up, it was like, oh, this is good. It was a medical process I've read of the day. It's kind of like, you want me to take antibiotics? That's just like rotten bacteria, you know? Yep, that's it. But if it's of a nobleman, who's more noble than God? And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors of those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, no, he's like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed. Notice he did what Jesus said to do. Sometimes we don't receive the blessing because we're halfway there and we give up. And we become rebellious. And we don't want to submit because it seems foolish. Well, how am I going to go to the pool of Siloam? I can't see. Duh. Hello, Jesus. And sometimes you say, well, how am I going to do this, God? I don't have a degree. How am I going to get that job? You have Jesus. Starting a job that you know nothing about, I don't know if I could do this. You have Jesus. Cry out to him. So I went and washed and I received. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. What's interesting to me here is a few things is sometimes we think the worst. Let Jesus anoint you, guys. Go and kneel and let him anoint you. Start to see clearer through the eyes of Jesus. Submit to the word of God. Let Jesus wash you. Why? Why, Pete? Why? So that you can see clearer. Let him wash you. Why do I have to see so clearly the scripture? So that you too can be Siloam. It means sent. You're sent. Whether you realize it or not, the little bit or the much, many things you know about the word, you're Siloam. You are sent. Remember that as you go out. Heavenly Father, we want to just ask you to give us the courage, Lord God. Help us to be strong, Father. Help us to have sacrificial love one for another. Let mercy and grace be extended and received. Keep us in prayer. Help us to have genuine faith. Stir up the gift inside of us. Help us to be courageous, full of power and love and of a sound mind. Help us to be vocal about our faith. Help us to see the appointed days and times and people in our life. Lord God, Help us when we suffer for doing what is right. Help us to be committed and persuaded by You and no one else. Help us hold fast with a firm grip to the Word and to You and to our faith. Help us to be kept by the seal of the Holy Spirit and to be ready in season and out of season, Lord God. And help us to remember that some will abandon, betray, and come against us. But Father, if You are for us, who could be against us? Help us to be ready for Your refreshing, just like this man who was sent out. Send us out, Lord God, that we may do the work which You have appointed us, anointed us, and called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.